Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Style File, where we cover everything and anything on the business of fashion. I'm Azura Rahman, and for this week's Style Maker, we have Erin Yong, the founder and creative director of Wei Hao Yong.
It's all about the garments, not really about the muse or a person, because I think that we should dress in comfort and we should be comfortable in our own skin, right? We shouldn't let the clothes cover our true beauty.
And finally, we'll have Emma Chong Johnston of Elle Malaysia breaking down the trend for plissé fabrics.
Plissé is slightly different in that it's still pleated, but it's kind of really micro pleats. Almost looks kind of smocky, that kind of texture, and it's a little bit crinkled, so it's not as sharp.
First up, though, our style maker for this week, we have Erin Yong of Wei Hao Yong. Sometimes it takes new blood to breathe in fresh air, and this week's guest, Erin Yong of Wei Hao Yong, has done just that. Breaking free from the local prevailing trends for drapery and embellishment, Erin emerged as a finalist for Harper's Bazaar New Gen Fashion Awards 2016, unveiling his first ever collection, interestingly enough, in knitwear, made entirely of sustainable materials inspired by the decay caused by the coral bleaching phenomena. Taking cues from the brutalist movement, where form follows function in all his garments, Erin looks to change the commonly held view that knits don't work in the tropics. His innovative use of breathable cotton denim yarn in his creations may just make him succeed in doing so. I caught up with Erin Yong as she explains his experience in the awards, his design philosophy, and inspiration behind the choice of knitwear. Welcome to the show, Erin, and congratulations on being one of the shortlisted finalists for the New Gen Awards. What was the whole experience like for you?
Well, it was a learning experience for me. I did learn quite a lot right after I came out from grad, basically, because we didn't have teachers to tell us what to do. We had no restrictions. So basically, it's like a blank slate where I had to restart and discover myself all over again. But I did learn a lot throughout the period.
Were you inspired by the talent that you were being surrounded by during your time in Singapore for that competition as well?
Yes, I was inspired by quite many of them because everybody made things that were so different, basically.
Right. Anyone that you're particularly inspired by in their approach to their design?
I'm actually thinking through the collections and it's like, they're all actually quite okay.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody's like so different.
Right.
There's another contestant that did knitwear as well. There's another contestant that does prints only. Everybody's majors in like something different. So it's hard to say that there's one person that's nice because it's actually all a different category.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about your collection though.
Yeah.
What I found really interesting was the fact that you are a newcomer in the sense that this collection for Harper's Bazaar was your first collection ever, despite, you know, the fact that you have experience with interning with Moto Guo and also with also Justin Yap. It really spoke to me because, number one, it was knit.
Yes.
And knitwear is something that hasn't really been explored, at least in the local fashion scene. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it just looks so finished. You know, it looked like it was made by someone who was very well experienced. I put out like so many collections before. That really impressed me.
Yes.
And obviously, the aesthetics of it itself. Tell us a bit more about the starting point of this collection, in a sense.
Well, basically, I am a type of person that doesn't really follow an inspiration. It's more rather than I produce the works first and I see the outcome and then I determine the inspiration rather than just sketching it out first, then reproducing. Because I believe that when you do something in 3D, it's almost like sculpting. You can't really do something that is from a flat picture and just transform it into something 3D and expect it to be like the way you want it. So you would say that I'm sculpting in a way.
So you drape the fabrics first, is that how you do it?
Yes, I drape and I get sort of a rough idea and then I just upload the pictures like on the computer and print it out and I only draft on them.
Right.
Yeah.
has that always been your way of working?
Yes, it has.
Why is that so? Was there a particular designer that inspired you, or you just found it your way of working?
We were taught that way, actually. Most of us were taught that way in our school. Well, I'm not sure how they do it now because the teachers left and everything. But yeah, we were brought up in that way. And I find it to be easier, in fact.
Right.
Because basically have a basis and a guideline to start from rather than just having nothing there.
Right. Yeah. So the inspiration really comes from what you sculpt in your hands and put together.
Yes.
So in a sense, it's a very workable working method, in the sense that, you know, you're not sketching something fantastical which doesn't look like what it is on a sketch.
Basically, you can almost predict what you will make before you can actually see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But in this case, though, your medium was knitwear.
Yes, knit.
Why did you choose that?
Knitwear, basically, before I even started school, right? Okay, it was after I graduated. I had this long period of time, and I'm basically a really new, I'm still, you could say, intermediate in knitting, not really a professional. I think it was the yarns that made everybody believe that it was really polished and finished. But actually, I'm rather intermediate one because the school, they didn't offer any courses in knitwear or anything. So basically, I just, nearby my home, there's this auntie in the
Sungai Road. Has a knitting machine.
Yeah, not knitting machine. I did hand knit.
You did? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's hand knit. Because,
so you purled and you...
Yes, I purled and I knit. It took quite a long time, like a month or so. But then it was the yarn that made it impressive, not really the technique. The technique was basically quite simple. It's actually the basics of everything.
Right, so it was this auntie in Sungai Wang who taught you the basics of basically knitting with knitting needles.
Yes. So I just sat there for hours and I just knit with them along.
Must have been very therapeutic.
Yes, it was therapeutic. It wasn't stressful.
Stitch and bitch
well.
Is how they call it.
Yes.
Now, having said that though, you made it sound as though it was very simple. The fact that you did not have that access to learning about knitting or knitwear in university, but it was something that still obviously struck you. What was it? What is it about knitwear that you like so much that you want to put it forward in your very first collection?
Well, for me, I thought that knitwear, people might assume that it's not suited for the tropical climate. So I'm just trying to change the perspective of other people by thinking that, oh, maybe I'm trying to make knitwear for something more summery. So that explains the basically more loose knits, which are more holes in the hems or anything, but nothing on the top though, because you can't really see it. But most of the yarns, I made it myself as well.
Wow.
It's actually repurposed denim that were harnessed from old clothes. Basically, I went to like search for my friends, my sisters, my brothers. They just had old clothes and I just decided to repurpose them.
And how did you learn to repurpose threads into yarn? How did you learn how to make yarn in the first place?
Because knits, what you need is yarn. So the only way to get the yarn is to shred it into pieces, right? It's like to shred it into strips. And so I just treated the denim and then I just cut and frayed them, hand frayed everything. Meters and meters, you could say that's almost like 120 meters or more than that.
And turn that into yarn.
Yes, yarn.
Wow, you make it sound so easy, but there must be something about knitwear that made you fall in love with it. Is it the drape? Is it the quality of the fall of the clothing that includes elements of knit to knit?
It was more of the versatility. Basically, it's like bodycon.
Right.
Yeah, for my design aesthetic, it's basically like I want something that is versatile for all women or the daring man, if you mind. Yes, and something that you can just wear on any occasion. That it's not dated, it's timeless. Something you could wear to the office. It's for married women, single women, any kind, basically.
So it doesn't seem like you have a specific person mind when you design this.
No, I design for all women,
right,
I would say.
Right. So is it more of you wanting to create a garment as opposed to wanting to dress a particular person when it comes to designing this collection?
Yes, basically it's all about the garments, not really about the muse or a person. Because I think that we should dress in comfort and we should be comfortable in our own skin, right?
Right.
So we shouldn't let the clothes cover our true beauty, which is ourselves. So I try to keep everything quite muted and nothing too stunning. You know, in situations where actually you have this really stunning gown and then you just wear it and people say like, oh, I love this gown. But the second time you wear it, people think that, oh, I've seen you in it before. I don't want that scenario. Basically, I want it to be like, I don't remember seeing you in this gown, basically.
But I remember you looking stunning.
Yes.
Right. So you don't want the dress to wear the person, but the person to wear
the dress.
Now, you said that you start off with your inspiration by draping off your garments, and then it becomes a garment for you, and then the inspiration just comes to life. So in this case, what has been written as part of the blurb for your collection is how the effect of global warming on corals. How did that come up from your process in coming up with these beautiful creations that you have for the New Gen collection?
Okay, basically I just sculpted the things out, the life forms. And it was funny that I just ran through Facebook that I saw that this is a really big issue that has been affecting the world, because apparently like 93% of the reefs has been destroyed. But yeah, for fashion, I believe that designers themselves, they should try to convey a message to the people by using issues like issues upon society or something like that. But I use like an environmental issue.
So sustainability is a big thing for you?
Quite.
And is it something that you want to highlight in all of your collections by using sustainable materials? Obviously, you did this time by reusing repurposed denim.
Yes.
Is it something that you hope to do with your...
Yes, I hope that I can think of new ways to be sustainable, because being sustainable isn't really budget-friendly as well.
It's not, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to use your sweatshop workers and so on.
Yes.
But for a struggling designer, that's part of the challenge, isn't it?
Yes, I don't have the technologies or access to, you know, big factories that do, like, techno stuff.
Right. Well, you know, you and your knitting aunties could get onto something,
yes,
I suppose.
Get into some...
Now, going back to the collection, what was your favorite piece?
Oh, okay. Favorite piece. It was really the first look that was my favorite piece, with that sculpted crop top with the denim skirt. Yes, that was my favorite piece.
Why was it your favorite piece?
Well, the hours put into it.
It's the blood, sweat and tears, really.
Yes, blood, sweat and tears. And basically, you might think that the crop top is actually quite simple, but actually there's more to that than just a crop top. Because basically...
There's a lot of pieces together, right?
Yes, for the way I work with, right? Basically, it's trying to integrate rather than application. Because from what I know, most people will think that, oh, when you bead something or you just applicate a pocket on it, it's just so surface, you can just take it off. It's really surface. But what I like to do is to incorporate the design into its form.
Right.
Rather, for that whole crop top, right, it only takes two pieces to make that whole crop top. And so basically you're saving money, you're saving sewing time, you're saving fabric.
It's quite innovative in that sense, and then the construction of
The construction. It's all about the construction, basically.
And what I was surprised by as well is the fact that you've mentioned that, you know, brutalism actually inspires your work.
Yes.
And, you know, what I know of brutalism is a very functional architecture.
Yes. Architecture.
You know, you're talking about poured concrete that's supposed to withstand time, but your works are beautiful. They're not brutalist to me, you know?
It's basically the concept of brutalism, but I'm not using the imagery of brutalism.
Right, so it's about form and function together.
Yes.
So, okay. Now, seeing how much blood, sweat and tears you poured into that collection, that's your very first collection, and you've set up your own label now, which is called Wei Hao Yong, which is your name. Would you take a similar approach to your future collections? Would this collection be available for sale to public?
Actually,
what's the next steps for you?
Yes, it would, because... Okay, before I just joined Malaysia Fashion Week, just to test the market out and to talk to buyers. And surprisingly, the reviews was good in a way, because I did receive quite a few orders for the stuff. Yes, and then from what I heard from the industry people, they say that if your first collection sells, you are considered to be very lucky. So I think that it's working quite well for me. So for now, the pieces are available online. Or you could just like order through me. I do custom orders as well.
Is that something that you're looking to, going down the made-to-measure route as opposed to the ready-to-wear route? Have you thought out of your business plan in that sense?
Basically, I think the ready-to-wear route is better for me, but if there are exceptions, for example, the knit dress, which will not be reproduced because it's too expensive. Yes, that will be the custom-made. But as for the simple pieces, they will be normal graded to S, M, L, XL.
Right.
Yes, but I think that certain pieces that I have created are basically suited for a size larger or a size smaller. It's not really like restricted in a way.
Right. Seeing how you regard your work practically as works of art, would you be happier if a client would just hang it in her wardrobe and admire it from far as opposed to wearing it? Is it meant to be worn in that sense?
Well, I meant for it to be worn, but if you would like to hang it, I wouldn't oppose either, because I do that myself. I just buy stuff and I just hang it and just look at it.
Do you really?
I do, because the thing is, right, I do shop a lot, I admit. And then people will think that, wow, you blow the budget by buying stuff from runways and everything, because I do buy runway pieces. But the thing is, I buy off-season runway pieces from like clearance sales or everything or online so that I could actually buy them back and study the finishing and everything.
Right.
So I just buy them for educational purposes.
It's a work expense then, in that sense.
Yes, it's a work expense. Shopping is a work expense, but you have to learn from it in a way.
Right.
And once I've done analyzing everything, I could always just sell it off for double the price. So it's like income as well.
So you're a savvy business person. It's a savvy business decision, actually,
yes,
in that sense. Now, I can't end off this interview without asking you about, yes, you know, the people that you've interned for, Motegor and Justin Yap. And,
yes,
you know, Motegor, for example, has shown on,
yeah,
Paris Fashion Week.
Yes.
He has been obviously shortlisted for very prestigious prizes. What has been your inspiration from working with these two prolific Malaysian designers, young Malaysian designers, as a matter of fact?
It's okay. For Justin, I've been working there for 1 month, so I can't say much, but I did learn like weaving in a more feminine side from him. As for Moto-wise, I worked there for 3 months, and another 3 months is as a part-timer, where I was in charge of the construction. Basically, I did not learn menswear before this. I just took out my book and I studied everything myself. So it was a learning experience for me, basically, because it was more from me. I learned from myself, rather. Because I feel that it would be right to contribute like to a company and
Learn the ropes,
yeah,
so to
learn
speak.
The ropes, yes.
Right. Did it help you in also making business decisions for your new label?
Business decisions-wise, I didn't learn much about the business aspect of this thing because it's handled by another department, but I did learn that we could try to like tone down our designs a bit. So
right,
yeah, but I've always been quite toned down. So
despite the quite, you know, outre things that Motegor has put out on his,
yes,
runway in that,
yes,
sense, are you happy though that people are receptive towards such creations on a runway, and hopefully also,
yeah,
receptive to, you know, the kind of knitwear that you'll be creating for,
yeah,
our audience?
Yes, it just shows us that there is this market that we can go in, and it gives us an assurance that there might be a chance for us young designers as well.
Okay.
Yes.
So what for you next? Of course, you've got Wei Hao Yong as a label. Are you,
yeah,
hoping to conquer the world? Are you hoping to show at Paris Fashion Week? Tell us what your big, hairy, audacious goals. Sorry.
Okay. Basically, I don't like to dream too big. I just let the opportunities surprise me. So we will see how it goes, I suppose.
Okay, very,
yes,
philosophical in that sense.
Because, yeah, sometimes if you expect too much, you might get heartbroken. So it's better to just like, okay, I know sometimes that I really want it, but if you can't get it, then it's okay. I believe that there's a better opportunity somewhere that you might get it. Like, okay, I did not win the Bazanyu Gen, but it's okay. Because maybe they might think that I don't need the award.
It's one way of looking at it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, pragmatic in your outlook as you are in your brutalist creations,
yes,
I suppose. Coming up next, we have Emma Chong Johnston, Managing Editor of Elle Malaysia, breaking down the next style trend for plissé fabrics. Before that, here's Venus Fly by Grimes and Janelle Monáe, and this was played at Desigual's Fall 2016 collection in New York.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
It's Azura Rahman on Style File, and next up we have Emma Chong Johnston of Elle Malaysia getting down with a trend that you may be much more familiar than you may think. It's plissé fabrics. Plissé fabrics. Now, for those who are uninitiated, basically they mean pleats, or am I wrong?
Yes, pleats, basically. It's been a year of the pleat. Possibly last year as well, especially those kind of knife-pleated midi skirts in metallics, very Gucci. But plissé is slightly different in that it's still pleated, but it's kind of really micro-pleats. Almost looks kind of smocky, that kind of texture, and it's a little bit crinkled, so it's not as sharp as your knife pleats or your box pleats, etc.
Similar to what you're wearing now, in that,
yes,
sense.
I just realised that. I looked down at my sleeves and I was like, oh.
That's it. So it's almost like cheesecloth-like,
yes,
in appearance. sounds very folksy, bohemian to me.
It is. I think it, in its original incarnation, yeah, it would be very kind of hippie and boho. But we're seeing a lot of metallic cliché at the moment, just in time for Christmas. So yeah, lots of golds and silvers and kind of metallic pinks and things like that. And the version that I've been seeing the most in is this very kind of, and I think people are going to be taken aback by this, but kind of like culottes, but not as wide as culottes, kind of like an awkward length, so a midi length, just like slightly wider trousers at an awkward crop. It's a very kind of auntie trouser, but in metallic gold, so...
And in plissé. Now, that sounds like a whole lot of trends happening at the same time. So having something metallic, a slightly looser trouser at an awkward length, plus plissé fabrics. Is that like too many trends rolled into one garment?
It is a lot. I mean, I'm not going to make any predictions about the longevity of that particular item in your wardrobe. But it's one of those things. It's a very fun kind of trend-based item. And they're also very, very comfortable.
Right. Now, if you want to move away from the awkward length trouser, though, how else should you be wearing the plissé fabric then?
So if you're not going to go for the trouser, blouses, little cropped shirts and tops, skirts even, so you get the same effect, you get the movement and the swish of a knife pleated skirt, but it's a lot more comfortable and it's a lot more easy to maintain because you're not crushing your pleats every time you sit down on them.
And it's one way of adding texture to your wardrobe as well, to your ensemble, right, in that sense, right?
While still being a block colour,
When you say texture though, there's always the fear of bulk at the same time, right? So is there a way of looking quite streamlined or not overdoing the plissé fabric? Would you go pleats on plissé, for example, you know, with the top and the bottom?
It could work, but I think it's about keeping the silhouettes very streamlined. So keeping going for like sleeveless, I think, is an easy way of cutting off a lot of the bulk, keeping your cuts like A-line cuts or like quite close to the body rather than the big blousy kind of swishy things.
To me, though, personally, whether it's pleats or plissé, there's always that danger of the auntie look that you mentioned. Looking a bit frumpy, looking a bit school mommy. How do you actually prevent yourself from achieving that look?
Well, the thing is, you can go full hog on this and like do the whole Gucci thing. So you have the midi skirt and you have the loafers and the full-on frilled blouse. And so it is a lot of look. But then, you know, if you do enough of it, it looks intentional rather than frumpy. But obviously the other way is like keeping hemlines short, pairing them with like distressed fabrics, sneakers or heels, kind of just mixing up your hemlines and kind of the different fabrics that you're using.
So it's either being a bit nonchalant, you know, a bit more casual, or the full-on Gucci, glossed-up lips kind of look, right? Royal Tenenbaums, glamour kind of thing, right? And that was this week's episode of Style File. If you missed any parts of the show, catch up with our podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, Style File on BFM 89.9. Before we go, though, we leave you with Desperado by Rihanna, and this was played at Christian Siriano's Fall 2016 collection in New York. This has been Style File with Azura Rahman on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.